Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, we are previewing the Steelers-Eagles preseason game that will take place tonight at 7 p.m. in Philadelphia. It will air on local TV in both Pittsburgh and Philadelphia in those local markets. Unfortunately, it will not be airing nationally, so if you are not in either the Pittsburgh or Philadelphia local markets, I encourage you to look into something like NFL Game Pass, which will be airing all of those games live. It can be a little pricey, but they offer more than just preseason games. You're also going to get the condensed version of regular season games and all 22 cam. But if you are looking for tonight, I think that's probably going to be your best bet to watch tonight's game. So today I want to go over each position and talk about the player I am most intrigued by so far in training camp, and I am most looking forward to tonight in the game. There's not really any injury things to get to or any news and notes. You know, Tomlin talked a lot about the injury situation during Tuesday's press conference, saying that a lot of the guys who have sat out for a significant time in camp so far, they will not play tonight. So you can rule out Antonio Brown, Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt, Vance McDonald. Those guys will likely sit tonight. Ben Roethlisberger will also be rested tonight. Of course, he usually only plays a couple series in the third preseason game, so you can likely rule him out in preseason game number two as well. Now, it'll be interesting to see with guys like Marcus Tucker, who returned in a limited capacity. Does he see any time tonight? I would think not. And then same thing for Keon Adams and Brian Allen, two young guys who both sat out Tuesday's practice. I would likely rule them out as well. Now, you have guys like Joe Hayden and Juju, who just returned to practice earlier this week. Do they see some time? I would expect probably Juju, yes, because he's so young. Joe Hayden, maybe not, but maybe not for both. Right? Juju's injury was that knee injury that's been bothering him. It's possible the Steelers give him the night off as well. So let's start position by position, and we'll go with the quarterbacks first. It's got to be Mason Rudolph here, right? I mean, you know, this is the guy who the Steelers took in the third round and was so highly touted by the Steelers in their post-draft press conferences and interviews, right? I mean, Kevin Colbert talking about how they had Mason Rudolph rated as highly as some of the other top quarterbacks who were taken ahead of him. And again, the only quarterbacks taken ahead of him were Lamar Jackson and then the four guys taken in the top 15. So if the Steelers really had a high first-round grade on Mason Rudolph, obviously that spoke volumes about what they thought about him. And, you know, as Kevin Colbert tells it, right, when it got to the third round, they couldn't not take a guy that they had rated that highly. So the questions all for Mason Rudolph going into camp were about, you know, is he going to live up to not just the hype of, you know, this could be the next great Steeler quarterback, but does he live up to the hype that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin talked about, you know, him being in that same echelon as some of those top quarterbacks in this draft? The answer through 11 practices has been maybe, right? He's had a very up and down camp, and that's to be expected for a rookie quarterback. There have been times out there where he just looks lost. He doesn't look composed in the pocket, unsure of where to go with the football, inaccurate. You know, he's had some problems with velocity. He's thrown his fair share of interceptions, right? I mean, the guy looks like a rookie at times. Now, there are other times when he looks like a star, and those times when, you know, he looks the part, right? Not only does he look the part from a physical manner, I mean, he's a tall, big quarterback with a big arm, right? I mean, he looks the part that way. But there are times when he puts a beautiful touch on the ball where he has a command out there. Again, like I said, it's an up-and-down camp for him so far. What I'll say for Mason Rudolph is this. He's had a nice couple practices in a row. I'm hopeful for him that he can put that together now and translate into tonight's game and have a good game out there. Again, he's going to get a ton of reps. I expect him and Dobbs are going to get the majority of reps at quarterback, so he's certainly going to have the opportunity. For him, it's going to be about going out there and showing that this is the first stage for Mason Rudolph, right? He's probably got a year or two to sit behind Ben Roethlisberger, so it's not like there's all this pressure for him to be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh anytime soon. But still, interesting to watch him tonight in his first preseason game. At running back, I'm going to go with a rookie again here, and that's going to be Jalen Samuels. Jalen Samuels wears 38, by the way. So if you're looking for Jalen Samuels, he's wearing number 38. Coming into this process, the questions were all about how are they going to use him, right? Are they going to use him as a traditional running back, or are they going to use him more in the way that NC State did, which is more of an X factor, not just as a running back, but lined up out wide and in the slot and really all over the offense? And really, you know, the question or the answer to that was much more the latter, right? I mean, the Steelers have certainly used him in all of the same ways that we saw on his tape at NC State. And so he's been lined up out wide. He's been lined up in the slot. He's been lined up at running back. He's been lined up at fullback. He's been lined up in two running back sets. You know, really, I mean, the guy has been lined up everywhere, and he's done a good job in a lot of those sets. The questions for me are about how much do parts of his game translate to live game situations, right? We've seen him have good reps in individual drills against the likes of Tyler Matakevich or John Bostic. We've seen him have good reps in 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 against guys like Bud Dupree. But how much of that really translates to real live game situations? And we're going to see that tonight. So again, I'm not so much interested in where they're going to use him. I have a pretty good feel, right? You're going to see Jalen Samuels kind of lined up all over. But how much of that part of his game really translates in the National Football League? And the next part of it's going to be, how does he do in pass protection? Because again, that's something that he didn't do at NC State, and he's not very good at, right? You know, and he will admit that to you. We saw him in backs on backers the first time around, really struggle. The second time around, better, still struggling, but better than he was the first time. Does he continue to show that level of improvement tonight? That's another thing I'm going to be interested to watch with Jalen Samuels. Again, he wears number 38. At wide receiver, there's so many players that we've talked about throughout camp because there are so many young prospects in camp right now. I mean, there's so many intriguing young prospects. The Steelers have really become a wide receiver factory in a lot of ways. You know, you go back to Mike Wallace and then Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown in the same draft, Martavis Bryant, Sammy Coates, you know, and then you go right into Juju. And now you've got James Washington and you've got Marcus Tucker and Tevin Jones and Damone Patterson, right? There are a lot of young, intriguing wide receiver prospects in Pittsburgh. But the one I am most interested to watch tonight is Justin Hunter. And not to say I'm not interested in watching James Washington. I am very interested to see how James Washington does tonight. But I'm more intrigued by Justin Hunter because for him, this is what it's all about, right? I mean, the Steelers have so much confidence in him. They have started him in the majority of first-team reps at outside receiver, even in the slot at times. They clearly feel like this can be a breakout season for Justin Hunter. And we've seen him make the kind of acrobatic catches that he's known for in these practice situations. Can he finally put it together in game situations? And can he be the starting outside receiver for the Steelers on day one? That process really starts for him tonight. We've seen him do this in practice. We've seen him do this in practice last year, right? That's never been the problem for him is having good practice. The problem for him has always been having good games. And so that's why I'm interested in watching Justin Hunter. If he's a guy who kind of disappears in those big moments, then what that's going to mean for the Steelers is that they're going to have to accelerate the development and their expectations for James Washington, a guy who they've been taking it very slowly with, right? I mean, you know, he hasn't played in really any first-team reps so far throughout camp. They're kind of taking it slowly with him, building him up, not forcing him into any kind of starting role just yet. And I think that's partially because they believe in Justin Hunter so much. Let's see what he can bring tonight. At tight end, you know, the story throughout camp was supposed to be Vance McDonald and how they're utilizing him in the offense and, you know, him finally having a healthy season. That lasted all about four practices before he went down with a foot injury and has missed all of camp since. So tight end has become, you know, Jesse James, who admittedly having a very good camp, but somewhat of a known quantity. Xavier Grimble, an intriguing prospect, but, you know, intriguing in a t-shirt and shorts. When he puts the pads on and we get into live game situations, it becomes somewhat of a Justin Hunter situation. I'd like to see him put it together a little more in game situations. So for me, the most intriguing prospect or the player I'm most interested in watching tonight is Bucky Hodges, who the Steelers signed, what was it, like day five or six in camp. This is a guy who's a much more of a pass catcher at tight end. He's an interesting guy though, because he's very good athletically, very good hands. We saw him use his hands in practice the other day, getting a fingertip ball. I'm intrigued with what he could be in this offense. I know I said at the beginning of this process, when we did our tight end preview, if there's really no one on this roster to push Xavier Grimble, I'm going to put an asterisk on that right now and say maybe it's Bucky Hodges, and I'm going to be interested to watch him tonight. He gets a bad rap as a bad blocker, but we all, you know, I saw him in backs on backers, and he looked very good in that drill, surprisingly good, given kind of his build. Again, an intriguing prospect for me. Bucky Hodges wears 82. On the offensive line, all eyes are going to be on Chucks Okorafor. This is our third-round pick out of Western Michigan, a very raw prospect who, after we drafted him, many assumed this was a luxury pick for the Steelers, someone that they could kind of hide on their roster for a couple years as Mike Munchak works his magic and takes that raw prospect and turns him into a eventual replacement to someone like Alejandro Villanueva or Marcus Gilbert. Those plans changed and changed drastically after Gerald Hawkins went down with injury, and Okorafor now becomes your presumed swing tackle, and a guy who we've seen play with the starters in place of Alejandro Villanueva when he went down with that shoulder injury. There's no time for Chucks Okorafor to be this developmental raw prospect. He's going to be asked to start and start significant minutes throughout this season, whether it be as a sixth offensive lineman at times like we've seen the Steelers use in the past, or potentially in place of Villanueva or Marcus Gilbert if they go down. So tonight is going to be about him proving himself that he can be that guy for the Steelers in the regular season. If not, and Ed Bouchette brought this up in a mailbag he did on the Post-Gazette website the other day, the Steelers are likely going to have to go out in free agency and find someone who they can trust as their offensive tackle, their swing tackle, if Okorafor is not that guy. So I'm interested to see what he shows against a very good Eagles defensive line, very good pass-rushing Eagles defensive line. And I know they're not going to play a bunch of their starters, but still, they have a very deep group there in Philadelphia. And some of those guys will play, and Okorafor will get tested tonight. Okorafor wears 76. At defensive line, there's some intriguing prospects there. We've talked about guys like LT Walton. We've talked about guys like Josh Frazier, Daniel McCullers, right? For me, you know, all those guys are interesting. I'm certainly going to be interested to watch those guys. But Casey Sales, 74, has been a guy who's intrigued me throughout camp. Been a very, very disruptive presence, both against the run and the pass, on the third and fourth string for that defensive line. I'm going to be interested to watch him tonight and see what he can do. I know that position battles at the end of the defensive line right now, you know, it really comes down to whether or not McCullers is going to have his nose tackle spot beat out. And I know guys like LaVon Hooks and LT Walton and Tyson Alualu have kind of been, they've been around this system for a while. They have become somewhat veteran backups on that defensive line. So maybe Sales' best option is going to be as a practice squad. But even still, I'm interested to see what he can do. He has certainly shown some glimpses throughout camp. At inside linebacker, of course, it's going to be Matthew Thomas. When I tweet about Matthew Thomas at training camp, the responses that I get, I mean, they're like 10 times what I get for other tweets at camp. Matthew Thomas has a huge following, not just among Steeler fans, who were very excited to get him as an undrafted free agent out of Florida State. And a guy who was, again, very highly recruited into Florida State, productive, but, you know, had some off-the-field issues that hurt him at Florida State, and that's why he ultimately went undrafted. I'll also give a ton of credit to the Florida State fans who continue to like and retweet and comment on everything. Anything I post about Matthew Thomas, you know, it's become my highest viewed, highest responded to tweets. I have considered renaming this podcast to Locked On Matthew Thomas. Maybe we can hit number one on iTunes if we did that. But yeah, look, the guy has certainly been hyped up, both by Florida State fans and by Steeler fans. And I get it, right? The inside linebacker so far has been the weakest position on the Steelers roster. And so people have not just assumed that Matthew Thomas is going to come in and make this roster, again, given the raw talent that he has. But I think there's also been hype that this is a guy who can become the eventual starter here, not in 2019, but now, right? I mean, he can become the starter at some point in 2018. I do want to pump the brakes on that. I'm not so sure that Matthew Thomas is going to beat out John Bostic or Tyler Matakevich. And as I've said, I'm not even so sure he's going to beat out LJ Fort. Right? Yes, this is a shallow position, a weak position for the Steelers. But John Bostic comes in as a three-down linebacker from the Colts, who the Steelers clearly feel like is going to be their starting inside linebacker on day one. Now, Matakevich has been in a bit of a position battle with him. He seems to be losing that position battle, but he's still been a core special teamer for this team and someone I think is very unlikely to be cut at the end of this training camp process. Vince Williams has been a starter for this team for many years. He will likely be the day one starter beside John Bostic. And then LJ Fort, I understand he's not a complete linebacker. He's not one of the best linebackers in the league or anything like that, but you know, he has his specialty and he's a very good coverage linebacker as we saw at the end of last season and even in that playoff game against Jacksonville. So he has his role. So I've always thought for Matthew Thomas that it was going to be a bit of an uphill climb. Now, as we talked about yesterday, he's had a couple really good practices in a row now. And that kind of raw athleticism is showing as he gets more and more comfortable. So he's a guy like Mason Rudolph that I'm excited to watch tonight because he has so much skill and he seems to be getting so much more comfortable out there. And so he's had a couple good practices in a row. I'm hoping he can ride that momentum into tonight. And the other thing for Matthew Thomas is that he's not just going to get reps at inside linebacker. He's very likely going to get reps at outside linebacker as well. I expect him to be used extensively on that defense because, remember, there's only three healthy outside linebackers on the roster at this point. And so Matthew Thomas and that versatility that he can show is going to help him make this roster as well. Matthew Thomas wears 46. At outside linebacker, I got to go with Ola Adini because there's just not enough names, right? Ola Adini, an undrafted free agent himself, somewhat of a pass rush specialist in college. He wears 92. I'm interested to see those pass rush skills. As I've talked about with these edge rushers, the pass rush at camp, you know, it's just tough to evaluate because, again, not to say they're going half speed or anything like that, but, again, you don't want to hit the quarterback, so you can't go full speed. And so a lot of the evaluation process is going to happen in these preseason games. It's a big night for Ola Adini. Again, he's going to get a ton of reps because there just aren't enough pass rushers on this team healthy right now. It's a big night for Ola Adini. Again, he wears 92. At cornerback, it's a lot like what we talked about at wide receiver. You know, there's just so many young players, so many young, interesting players, a lot of exciting things to watch for tonight. You know, as I go through the list, right, Joe Hayden's having a fantastic camp. Again, I'm not sure how much time he's really going to see tonight because he's a veteran and he's coming back from injury. We'll see how much Tomlin elects to play him, if at all. Artie Burns is a guy who's showing the kind of improvement in year 2 to 3 that we were hoping to see from him in year 1 to 2. He's really improved from where he left off a year ago. Going to be interesting to see if that translates on the field. Mike Hilton, not only continuing where he left off as a great slot corner on this team, but really getting even better at times and becoming a vocal leader on that secondary too, which has been interesting to watch throughout camp. Cam Sutton has been a guy who's been very versatile throughout camp, used outside, inside, in the dime, in the dollar. I mean, he's been everywhere on that defense. He even got some reps at safety, as did Mike Hilton. So he's had a very good camp. Cody Sensabaugh, a guy who I just figured was going to be the odd man out, considering how many young players the Steelers had developing this year. That is certainly not going to be the case. He has had a terrific camp. I'm interested to see how he does. But the guy I'm most intrigued by tonight is DeShawn Phillips, a player the Steelers traded for at the end of last preseason. He spent all of last season on the Steelers practice squad, and he's having a very good camp. A guy who can play both inside and outside, so he has that versatility that the Steelers like. He's been very, very physical out there, not only in coverage, but also against the run. I'm interested to watch. DeShawn Phillips wears 35. Here's a guy who I really feel like could push Brian Allen for that last spot at corner. You know, I get that, you know, Brian Allen is a raw developmental guy who hasn't played the position very long, and it's really unfortunate that he's going to sit out tonight's game in all likelihood. But DeShawn Phillips really going to push there. He's been talked up by other players, by the coaching staff as well. He's having a very underrated camp, and I'm interested to see how he looks tonight against the Eagles. At safety, look, there's a lot of interesting things here, right? How does Sean Davis make the transition to free safety? How does Morgan Burnett look at the strong safety, and what kind of veteran presence does he add in the back half of that secondary? But no player on this entire team, to me, is more intriguing at this point than Terrell Edmunds. And you can go back and listen to the podcast that I did right after the Steelers took Terrell Edmunds. I was not a fan of the pick. I just wasn't. I really thought this was the Steelers falling into the same trap that they always do, which is taking these kind of raw athletes and expecting them to turn into great football players rather than taking more polished players and turning them into great NFL players. I'm so happy to have been wrong so far. I mean, we're 11 practices in, so we're very early on still. But the early returns on Terrell Edmunds are very, very good. And we're seeing a player. I expected to see a player who, while he had this kind of raw athleticism, I expected someone to be kind of stuck in his own head out there and not show that athleticism because he was doing so much thinking and so much learning I am very happy to report that hasn't really been the case so far. And it started very early on with that interception against Vance McDonald, or covering Vance McDonald. It was against Ben Roethlisberger. But it just continued throughout camp, glimpse after glimpse after glimpse of what he could eventually become. And again, he's not a guy who is out there thinking. He's that guy out there reacting and going. His athleticism shows on every play. Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot, you know, described him as being a cornerback playing safety in his coverage ability. And it really does shine through in those one-on-one individual drills when he's asked to cover wide receivers. Again, as I've said throughout camp, he is stride for stride every time. I'm very interested to see how much of his game translates from a practice to a game. And then, of course, the next thing is going to be from this preseason game to the regular season. I said this early on, it was probably hyperbolic, but how long can the Steelers really wait to start Terrell Edmunds? I still believe that. I mean, I really do still believe that. Nothing against Morgan Burnett, who I think, you know, in his return to practice has looked very good, has done a very good job of covering tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. But there's no one on this team that I'm more intrigued by than Terrell Edmunds. He wears 34. I'm very, very interested to see what he can do tonight. And Quadri Henderson, by the way, wears number 10. Now, before we leave tonight, I do want to go over some other names to watch and what numbers they wear. I really do encourage you, by the way, you know, it's going to be 90 guys out there tonight. If you're watching this game live, it's going to be 90 guys playing in all likelihood, or it's close to 90 guys playing. It's going to be very tough to keep track of who's who. I mean, I'll tell you this. Watching at camp, the PR guys are giving out, I mean, they're giving out rosters like candy. Because even 11 practices in, watching these guys for 2 hours a day, it's still tough to remember what number is, or what player is which, especially when there are guys on offense and defense that are wearing the same number. So have your phone ready, have the roster pulled up on there, because it does get a little wacky. Now, as far as the other names to watch tonight, we've talked about wide receiver Damone Patterson. He's been a guy playing on the outside as a receiver. Vertical threat, made some acrobatic catches throughout camp. He wears 83. Tevin Jones, primarily a slot receiver so far, been very consistent throughout camp. He wears 14. James Washington wears number 13. Of course, he's a second-round pick. Everyone's intrigued by him. I am as well. We'll see how many combat catches he makes tonight. Does he show off that deceptive speed? I'm interested to see also if he plays with Mason Rudolph. Again, that was they were the combination at Oklahoma State, quarterback and wide receiver. So do the coaching staff give them time to play together? I hope they do, because, you know, the accuracy from Josh Dobbs to James Washington on some of the deep throws has been hit or miss. Mason Rudolph much better, obviously, because they played together at college. So we'll see how many reps they get together. Again, James Washington wearing number 13. John Bostic, big Steelers free agent signing, wears 51. He will likely get some starting reps tonight. We'll see how many reps he gets overall. And then Marcus Allen, the rookie out of Penn State, has been kind of running with the fourth string at safety, which has meant he's seen limited reps so far. We'll see how many reps he gets tonight. He wears 27. And then finally, Morgan Burnett, the free agent from the Green Bay Packers, he wears 42, primarily a strong safety type and covering running backs and tight ends out of the backfield. Done a very good job doing so, and I'm interested to see, again, what he brings to camp as well. Now, another thing I should mention, I guess, as long as we're going over some of the numbers, don't get confused. Joe Hayden changed his number. He is no longer 21. He is 23. Sean Davis is no longer 28. He's 21. And Mike Hilton, who last year wore, what? He wore 21? He wore 30? No, he wore 30 last year. 31? He wore 31 last year. I can't even keep track anymore. He's wearing 28 now. So don't get confused by those three. If you see them out there, Hilton's 28, Sean Davis is 21, Joe Hayden is 23. I'm interested to see those three guys. Well, obviously with Sean Davis making the transition to free safety, I'll be interested to see how he plays tonight as well. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Enjoy the game tonight. Again, 7 p.m. this evening. It'll be on TV in the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia areas. If you're not in those areas, I encourage you to look into getting NFL Game Pass. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow to recap that Steelers-Eagles preseason game right here on Locked On Steelers.